You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Imagine getting the most out of your team by understanding their behavior, their motivation, and their strengths. Well, that is feasible because you've come to the right place. Today's guest is going to break down exactly how to do just that. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. Today, I have the honor and privilege of introducing a very special guest to the show, Matt Singers. Matt have worked as a management coach for over 6 years. He has coached people in large organizations such as Shell and Coca-Cola and have worked with entrepreneurs in small companies. Matt is the founder and owner of Aristo Sourcing, an outsourcing company specializing in helping clients execute repeatable processes. He also owns and operates Client Powerhouse, a local SEO company providing SEO services to smaller local companies. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to have you on board because today we would love to talk about effective management mastery and also how effective managers can start growing and scaling companies.
Yep.
And of course, your robust morning routine. So I know you've worked for big organizations such as Xerox, IBM.
Yep.
What are some of the essential management skills that you have used yourself or have seen in the field that managers should possess?
Yeah, so let me start where most people aren't normally starting out, right? So the first things first for me is doing frequent one-to-one sessions with your staff, right? So one of the most essential things when you're managing other human beings is to actually treat them like human beings and talk to them consistently. It's probably the most important management process, and it's probably the process that I see being executed least well, both in large corporations, but also from like smaller business owners and so on, right? So the fundamentals for me is definitely around like talking to your staff and the one-to-one sessions and really making sure that you build a relationship with people, right? There's in the end of the day, when you're in a situation where you're getting people to do work essentially for you, you want to make sure you have a good relationship with them so that, you know, they want to go that extra mile for you. Like if you always pull the boss card and like, hey, you have to do this thing because I tell you to, like you're not going to be effective very long and you're going to end up with a lot of people not enjoying working for you, right? Whereas if you actually build good relationship with people, listen to them and you know, challenge them, like that's generally the best way to get the most out of them. So I would say that's sort of the number one thing that I tend to focus on. The second thing around that aspect as well is delegation, right? Because so many people really, really struggle to let go and they really struggle to delegate. So a lot of the management training I do is very much around sort of making that process significantly more effective, because most people are very good at delegating tasks. So they will take a specific task and they will go to one of the employees and they say, hey, go do this thing. But they're not very good at actually giving employees the responsibility of executing tasks consistently. And that's one of the other things that I teach a lot in my management training. So.
Yeah, I can agree with you with the first one, the one-on-one session, because every manager should actually get to know their employee on a level that relationship versus just that boss subordinate superior relationship that we see quite frequently. Managers are always meeting quotas, right? Meeting deadlines. What kind of skill sets would one need to actually connect with the employees so that they can perform better?
I mean, again, the fundamental for me is the reason why most managers are very busy is because they're not using their teams effectively. So a lot of the time, like, managers are trying to make up for what the employees aren't doing. And the thing is, yeah, you have to do that when you don't give the employees the right direction and when you don't build the right relationships. But really, if you do that really well, that will basically free up significantly more time for you to do the important things that you have to do.
Yeah, I can see that, because then you're building trust. And once that trust is built and established, it'll be a lot easier for you to delegate.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, I can see that. So that there won't be a need to struggle to let go of the task if proper training is set in place.
Yep.
Can you share with us what is the difference between leader and manager?
Yeah, in principle, I want business owners and I want managers to be both, right? So leaders are generally considered people who, you know, go first, who, you know, take charge. And really, as a manager, you want to definitely learn to develop those skills. Now, I would say you sometimes have leaders that aren't managers. So, you know, they burn through, they're super passionate. Good examples of that could be sports stars. Like a lot of sports stars, you know, they really, you know, they pick up the torch and they go in front, but they're not necessarily managers and they're not necessarily effective managing people. But I would say if you are a manager, if you want to be a successful manager, you definitely want to develop leadership skills, right? Because people follow people who have great vision, who have you know, who have clear ideas and provide clear direction. And that's what leaders do. Now, the manager's job and the manager's role in the background is as much to make sure that there's, you know, clear frameworks, clear processes, making sure deadlines get hit and things like that. So for me, management roles is about merging those two, really.
Mm-hmm. Both managers becoming leaders in the organization.
Yeah. And fundamentally, like, majority of people who get promoted to managers is in most organizations people who show leadership skills. So it's often the people who step up, who step forward, who take responsibility. Like, they are often the ones that get promoted into management positions, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That takes initiative, that asks the right questions and know how to problem solve.
Yeah.
What about emotional intelligence? How high do they need to be on that scale to be effective managers and leaders?
So I'm a very, very big fan of a behavioral framework called DISC. And really, it's similar to Myers-Briggs, if you know that. But the fundamentals with DISC and the fundamentals with emotional intelligence is, one, learning who you are and learning how you communicate and how you think. And the second most important thing is learning that same thing for people who are not like you. So for me, emotional intelligence is really about learning how other people think. Because very often, like, all human beings have been in a situation where they sort of stopped up and think, why would anyone ever do that? Right? Like, everyone have been in that situation. And usually it's because you're dealing with an individual who is behaving very, very different and have natural ways of thinking than you. So just to do an example, right? Some people, when they go to a restaurant, they think about it very logically. So they're like, what's the closest place? What's not too expensive? What have a good menu, etc. Whereas other people would be much more emotional around and say, you know, what place have a nice ambience? Where does the food look nice so I can get a cool photo on Instagram? And like, people can look at the same situation from very, very different angles. And if someone emotional, as an example, say, oh, we want to pick this restaurant, which is 2 hours drive out of town because that's a super cool place, a logical person would look at that and say, why the hell would anyone want to go drive 2 hours to get to a restaurant when there's a million restaurants within 10 minutes walk, right? So that's just an example of a situation where, you know, where people can think very differently. And if you don't understand how other people think, you often just end up feeling they're stupid, right? But if you actually understand where they're coming from and what helps them, what drives them to make the choices they do, if you understand them, then it makes it significantly easier to put yourself in their place and get the most out of them as a manager, right?
Mm-hmm. And how do you foster that in your clients? If they come to you and they lack EQ, how do you, as a coach, work with them through that?
So I have a very specific course where I go through DISC. So the challenge I have with most behavioral frameworks is that they're depending on people taking a test, right? And the problem with tests is tests are only as good as the person answering them. Now, the reason for me why DISC is a really, really powerful tool is that you can learn to read people through body language and through behavior so that instead of you judging them by a test, you can actually learn to see their personality type just by looking at how they act and behave, right?
Yeah, just observing.
And that's like, I teach that framework to all my clients, and it's one of the most powerful things, both for managing existing staff, but also for hiring the right staff and so on. So it's, yeah, super, super powerful framework.
Yeah, because at the end of it, you want them to, the managers to be able to be aware of their own emotions and regulate their and control their own emotions, but also discern the other person's behaviors and emotion and be able to interact with them effectively or interact with them in a way that they'll understand, right? Because there's that whole one hat fits all that is not really the case. There's no one golden rule.
Yeah, no,
everyone's different.
One of the key things for me is like a lot of people, they sort of look have idols they look up to. So they'll say like, wow, Elon Musk is amazing. I want to be like him. But the thing is, if you're not like Elon Musk from a behavior standpoint, if you try and be like him, you will fail 10 times out of 10. Right? Because for every manager, for every leader, the essential piece is figuring out who are you and what's your absolutely core strength. And that's what you want to push forward as a leader, as a manager. So like, let's say, for example, you're a super numbers geek and you love numbers, right? Now, if that's one of your absolute core strengths, that generally says that you're generally very good at details and organizations and things like that. And that's like, you can utilize that as a manager, right? So you can make great decisions. You can utilize numbers to make great decisions, etc. Whereas other managers, they would maybe be super emotional. And emotional is not a good or a bad thing. Like, again, people are more actually drawn to people who are emotional and people who are not afraid to show their emotional side. That's often very attractive to people, right? When they see people really burn for things and really like, really desperately need to make things happen, right? When they see that, like they're much more likely to follow them, right? So it's much more like, instead of trying to mimic someone else, what you really need to do is find out who are you and what's your absolutely core strength that you can use as a manager to get the most out of yourself and your team.
Yeah, I like your notion about being real to yourself and who you are, because if you show that you are passionate about what you're doing, of course others will take notice. Yeah, upper management will take notice. There'll be a room for promotion. That's the fastest way to promote yourself, is to be passionate, to show passion for what you do. And so I like that there's a need to be tactful and be transparent in the workplace.
Definitely. Yeah.
Fantastic. Tell us about your other businesses. You have the outsourcing company and you also have the SEO company.
So one of the rules I have is I don't start a new business before the previous one runs well. So as entrepreneurs, you always have a million ideas, right? And I would love to start 100 businesses a day if I could. But the key thing for me, again, from a management standpoint, is I build a business, I put the leadership team in place, and then I step away, right? So I'm not trying to build three or four businesses at the same time. I build a business. I get it up to the right level. I have the leadership in place to run it. And my philosophy is when a business grows faster, when I'm not the captain, that's a good sign, right? Because what happened with most entrepreneurs is they actually end up becoming bottlenecks, right?
Yeah.
And the benefit with putting other people in is very frequently when you put the right people in the right places, you actually end up seeing the company growing faster when you start to step away. Right. So that's really like what I love doing is building teams and putting the right teams in place. Right. So that's really sort of my philosophy behind being able to grow and manage multiple businesses. Right. So the one I invest the most time in myself is my management coaching. Right. Because that's like I have a lot of clients that I'm helping on the management side. And that's what I find is most fun. But really the fundamental of like, again, when I start a new business, like for me, it's about putting the right people together, getting people who want to do amazing stuff and really giving them the opportunity to shine. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not, you can probably call me lazy, but I'm not the person who go in and want to do everything. What I want to do is I want to find people who want to do amazing things and give them the opportunity to do that. Right.
That's great leadership right there to be able to do that and do it so well. Because as a leadership expert and what you've learned over the years, how long does it take you to actually place effective leaders in your company so that you can actually step away and do the bigger things, be the visionary and think of other businesses or ideas and how to scale and grow the business?
I would say I don't think you can put a number on that because it is very different from business to business and, you know, how fast companies grow, how much profit margin there is in them. Because obviously if you have a lot of cash flow and you can afford to hire a lot of great people, that's a very different situation than if you have a business where your profit margins are a lot less and, you know, where, where you have to be a lot more economical. So it really depends a lot from business to business. But I mean, there is a golden rule in business saying it takes about 1,000 days or around 3 years to get a business to a good stage. And I fundamentally believe in that in the majority of cases. Obviously, when you have built a few businesses already, you often do it a little bit faster. But reality is for majority of businesses, even today, even started by experienced entrepreneurs, it tends to take around 3 years to really get to a very comfortable level with it.
Mm. Okay. That's my dog. Zion, please.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Zion. So that's great insight because I have a lot of entrepreneurs who are actually in the process of scaling and growing, and they're curious to know, one, how to pick great leaders, great team members to get on their staff, as well as how long will they baby their business? You know, how long will it take for them to actually be able to work on the business, not so much work in the business, you know?
Yeah, and one of the things that's really sad for me is that like a lot of these online courses and a lot of these things, they're like, oh yeah, build your business and get passive income. And reality is like businesses making passive income, they do it on the back of many years worth of work, right? You're not going to spend 3 months building a business that will magically give you passive income for the next 10 years. At least it's very, very unlikely. And because of that, unfortunately, because a lot of people are great at throwing around these empty promises, what tend to happen is people's expectations are often way off. And for a lot of people, if you tell them, like, you're not going to make money the first 3 years, that will scare a lot of people. And that's okay. Like, honestly, if you don't have what it takes to go through 3 years of really tough time to really build the business you want, honestly, you probably shouldn't be an entrepreneur in that way, right? Like, there's still entrepreneurial journeys, such as freelancers and other sort of aspects that you can go through. But if you're not willing to take the time it takes to build a business, like, you're better off not starting, right? And reality is, for a lot of people, Like when you look at the US, for example, like if you see how many people crash and burn within, how many businesses crash and burn within the first 3 years, like you're looking at 95%, right? And it's very much an expectation setting thing. So again, like no matter what you hear, no matter what hype, be ready to spend like 3 years to build the business.
Minimum. Yeah. And if you're not, if you don't want to be in it, then you don't have a passion for it, you know, then it's just, you're toying with the idea. You don't have buy-in from yourself.
Yeah. And reality is, right, that's not a bad thing. Like everyone's like, oh, everyone should be entrepreneurs. And I fundamentally disagree, right? I would say any type of personality can be entrepreneur. Any type of personality can learn to be a good manager. That's different. But entrepreneurship is more about risk, and it's more about it's not just about like, oh, I really want this, so I'll go do it. But entrepreneurship is much more about what's your risk profile, what's your willingness to sacrifice in that direction. Because honestly, a lot of people getting into entrepreneurship, the people who succeed is very often people who, you know, they're still living at home with their mom, so they have very low expenses, or, you know, they're bachelors, they don't yet have a family, or they have a partner who's making a good deal of money, or like you often need the environment, right? Because honestly, like you hear a lot of these stories like, oh, I had $12 and, you know, I couldn't eat and blah, blah. The thing is, if you have $12 and can't eat, like you shouldn't think about being an entrepreneur first and foremost. You should think about making some money, right? Because in any business, I'll tell you, like the first thing I ask my clients when I start coaching people is always like, how much money are you making? And I ask them, because if you're not making enough money, if you're struggling to pay your bills, right, your focus and your mindset is in the wrong place.
Right. Just like that Maslow hierarchical chart. If you can't meet your basic needs, how can you think about growing a business? You need seed money.
Exactly, right? And like I know people who have done it in so many ways. Like I know people who are desperate to build a business, and you know they run around every night driving Uber, and you know they do what it takes. But again, like you really need, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you really need to feel with yourself if that's the right thing for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Well put. Thank you so much for sharing, Mads. How can our listeners get in contact with you?
So a bunch of places. I generally roam around all the interwebs and all these social media. So Mads Singers is my name. So MadsSingers.com. Mads@MadsSingers.com is my email. And then, yeah, Facebook, LinkedIn and stuff. I'm not necessarily the person answering, but I have great people around me. So
Mads, I thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us on effective management skills and how to be both a manager and a leader. And entrepreneurship is no easy task.
Definitely not.
You got to be able to be passionate about it. Devote the time for the reward, for the high reward, because the ultimate goal is to add value in some way. I thank you for your time. You have a great evening.
Likewise. Have a good one.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.